Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, September 18th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. Zimbabwe Electoral Commission Chairperson Rita Makarau says all is set for tomorrow's parliamentary by-elections, but warns driver's licenses will not be accepted as forms of identification.
We are ready now for the by-elections. We shall be deploying polling officers to their respective polling stations, and they will be carrying with them the relevant voting materials.
Diplomats, top government officials and business executives joined youths in Harare at the first ever exhibition on education and economic opportunities for young people in the country. And all is set for this weekend's burial of former Information Minister and Liberation Fighter Sikhanyiso Ndlovu, who died this week.
Some of us who have known him for a long time, we are quite happy. He was a man who was quite resolute and principled and very clear about the struggle. He pioneered the concept of distance education.
But these stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. The Zimbabwe Election Commission says it is all set for tomorrow's parliamentary by-elections in Epworth, Mbire and Marondera Central constituencies that will be contested by ZANU-PF and a few small opposition parties. The MDC is boycotting the polls, demanding electoral and democratic reforms. ZEC Chairperson Rita Makarau tells Studio 7 reporter Blessing Zulu all logistics have been put in place for the elections.
We are ready now for the by-elections. We shall be deploying polling officers to their respective polling stations, and they will be carrying with them the relevant voting materials. So I would say we are almost ready, waiting now for the voters to cast their ballots.
For ZEC, obviously, this is a dress rehearsal for 2018. Is it that significant? Are these by-elections significant for you as an organization?
Yes, we have been using by-elections, like you say, as training ground, increasing on our efficiency with this by-election. But particularly this one, we have piloted a polling station-specific voter registration exercise in Marondera Central. We'll want to see how this goes, whether we have done it properly and adequately, and what lessons we can draw from the pilot exercise, particularly significant for us.
Just tell us briefly about this pilot project that you are launching in Marondera.
The pilot project that we are launching in Marondera is actually to demarcate what we call polling areas that are specific to each polling station, so that people in a particular polling area will just go to one polling station. The voters' roll for that polling station will be a smaller one, between 800 and 1,500 voters. It's easier for us to manage, it's easier for everybody to inspect, and we want to see that how that goes, so that if we think it is the way to go, then we can replicate it for the 2018 elections.
And usually we have heard of people complaining that they've been turned away. What documents should they bring when they are going to cast their ballots?
Voters should always bring their identification documents, and these include the national ID card and a valid passport. Driver's licenses, unfortunately, are unacceptable, and most people don't seem to realize that they turn up with their driver's licenses. Again, if they have the waiting pass or the green pass, as we call it, it must have their picture on it. And if their identity documents are defaced, we encourage them to have them renewed before elections, because, again, this will be a reason for them to be turned away.
That was ZEC Chairperson Rita Makarau on the line from Harare with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu. Meanwhile, the Zimbabwe Electoral Support Network also says it has deployed observers to all the three constituencies, adding it has not received any complaints from the contesting candidates or parties so far. Reporter Ntungameli Nkomo reached ZESN Programs Coordinator Ellen Dingani.
We have managed to deploy teams in the three constituencies, and the teams are from Mbire, for Marondera, They are already in the constituencies. So far, what we can tell is that our observers have managed to get accredited in all the constituencies. For Epworth, they were accredited in Harare. For Marondera, they were accredited in Marondera. And for Mbire, they also accredited in the constituents. And we applaud ZEC for the decentralization of accreditation, which also assists us in terms of logistics of our observation. We hope that voters will go out in numbers, exercise their right tomorrow.
Any complaints from any contesting political parties, things like violence, intimidation that we have seen in previous elections?
So far, we haven't received any reports of any incidents, but tomorrow we'll be able maybe to give you more information regarding any incidents or the processes and how they could be conducting the election.
That was ZESN Programs Coordinator Ellen Dingani on the line from Harare with Studio 7's Ntungameli Nkomo. However, despite reported calm in the three constituencies, one candidate, Solomon Makaza of Transform Zimbabwe, tells Gibbs Dube that ZANU-PF is intimidating people in his Marondera Central constituency.
Here in Zimbabwe, we have got a problem of money we can use to campaign.
Now, when we look at the election process itself, what would you say about the preparations for the elections? Were they fair? You know, give us your assessment.
The elections always here are not fair.
What do you mean exactly?
You know, when you go out for campaigning, some people here, they are afraid of going out because they will be hit by the ruling party.
But at the end of the day, you know, what is the reason then of going into a by-election when you know that you are facing some of these problems?
You know, my friend, yeah, you won't let that, you know, that thing that has been happening for a long time. We are trying to our level best so that we can hear something. People can understand, to teach people to understand what is happening here in Zimbabwe.
At the end of the day, do you think that it is worth it to actually take part in some of these by-elections, taking into account that in the previous elections, your party didn't do well?
Yes, our party didn't do well, but we are struggling to do that. We are waging a struggle, in fact.
That was Solomon Makaza, Marondera Central candidate of Transform Zimbabwe, speaking on the line with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube. Diplomats, top government officials and business executives today joined youths in Harare at the first ever exhibition and high-level debates on education and economic opportunities for young people in the country. Ivan Chifera has details from Harare.
Representatives of the European Union, International Monetary Fund, and ambassadors from Britain and the Democratic Republic of Congo were among the diplomats who attended the event, which saw more than 20 embassies exhibiting education scholarships offered in their countries. They stressed the need for the country to include the youths, who now constitute the majority of the population, in decision-making processes. Economist Ashok Chakravarti said most youths are out of employment, adding they face a bleak future as most of them are excluded from economic activity.
Development happens when you have a good enabling environment which is put in place by a government which enables all your energies to be released so that you work for yourself, and you know that in working for yourself you are going to better your own life, and a consequence of that is going to be the growth and development of the country.
The government, he said, should introduce policies that will attract investment and create opportunities for young people and private companies. Some youths who attended the fair, which also showcased opportunities for the youth outside Zimbabwe, said they felt empowered by the information they got, in particular about continuing to study even in foreign countries. Blessing Makowera said she was excited by the debates and the fair.
I just want to say this is a very interesting program. You have learned a lot, and you have seen what we are supposed to do when we finish schooling.
Mishek Gondo, co-organizer of the fair, which is dubbed The Space, said the platform seeks to bring opportunities to young people, linking them with organizations and universities that provide scholarships and business opportunities.
But it's a platform whereby we are also discussing policy issues. We are discussing different topics in terms of development aid, development effectiveness, poverty eradication, among other topics, and the role of young people in terms of the national discourse, influencing policies. So this space is trying to bring different stakeholders to solve our challenges.
Embassies of the United States, Britain, Japan and Indonesia were among many countries that were represented at the event, which organizers say would be held annually. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Heal Zimbabwe Trust Programs Manager Sitavile Dewa says her organization will on Monday host a Political Violence Survivors Summit in Masvingo to coincide with the International Day of Peace that is observed around the world on 21st September. Dewa says their summit will bring together over 30 survivors of political violence drawn from Masvingo and Manicaland provinces who will relive their experiences and discuss ways of dealing with the after effects.
This survivor summit is going to bring victims of political violence that consist of victims of sexual assault, victims of arson, victims of murder, intimidation and harassment, and also those who have been abducted before.
What do you aim to achieve by holding such a summit?
The Survivors Summit is coinciding with the International Day of Peace, which is celebrated globally on the 21st of September. By setting aside this day for survivors of political violence, we are saying as you, Zimbabwe, let's come together with survivors of political violence, just reflecting on the road so far. What have been the challenges the survivors of political violence have been facing, and what are the opportunities that we can use? For example, there's the National Peace and Reconciliation Commission. What can we do as survivors of political violence representatives to continue to push the government to fully operationalize the National Peace and Reconciliation Commission?
That was the Hill Zimbabwe Trust Programs Manager Sitavile Dewa in Harare speaking with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. The remains of former Information Minister and senior ZANU-PF official Sikanyiso Ndlovu, who died in Bulawayo Tuesday after a major stroke, have been flown to Harare ahead of his burial at the National Heroes Acre tomorrow. The 70-year-old educationist's friend, former ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo, who has been in the trenches with him since the 1960s, applauds the status accorded to him by the ZANU-PF Politburo, saying heroes do not come any better.
I think it is good that the party ZANU-PF decided to accord Comrade Ndlovu a hero's status. For some of us who have known him for a long time, we are quite happy. I have been very critical of ZANU-PF according hero status to some of the people who we believe, some of us, did not contribute anything except that they were relatives or friends of the powers that be. But in this particular case, we are quite happy. I think that's a good move.
Tell us a little bit more about Mr. Sikanyiso Ndlovu. Who was he and what did he do for Zimbabwe that you really can say, you know, well done, farewell, Comrade Ndlovu or Mr. Ndlovu, you did well for your country?
Comrade Ndlovu was a gallant fighter, true cadre of the revolution. I first met him here in Zimbabwe during the ZAPU era as a youth. Then we met in the United States. He was in Syracuse, I was in Boston. We used to meet time after time, discuss the struggle. He was in ZAPU, I was in ZANU. Because of our background coming from Berengwa, we were fairly close to each other.
And then we met in Zambia, where he was involved in the education of the SAPU cadres. He became a member of the Revolutionary Council. I was a member of NARE. Then we met here in Zimbabwe, became colleagues in the cabinet. He was minister, at one stage, the Minister of Information, the Minister of Education, and I was in the Minister of Economic Planning and then Agriculture. And we were members of the Politburo together. He was a man who was quite resolute, and the principles were very clear about the struggle. He pioneered the concept of distance education. When he came here, he formed Zideko College. He was an education excellence. He was a giant in the field of education, really an expert, and he was passionate about education. So we certainly will miss him.
Would you say that would be his legacy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Education is his legacy.
And that was a former ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo speaking to Studio 7 Sandra Nyaira in Harare. Now we look at regional and international news. A U.S. diplomat says efforts are underway to convince Burkina Faso coup leaders to restore the transitional government and let the country proceed with elections. Al-Shabaab militants briefly captured an army base in southern Somalia today, the latest of several high-profile attacks the group has carried out this month. And officials in South Sudan say at least 150 people were killed when an overturned oil tanker exploded, killing people who were trying to siphon out the fuel. Hardly 2 weeks after its inaugural Congress, the MDCT breakaway People's Democratic Party has developed internal fissures, with Deputy Secretary General Tongai Matutu signaling that he may leave the party. Matutu is one of the several officials who were disgruntled by the selection process of leaders who were not voted into power but were brought in through what the officials say is selection. At its inaugural Congress last week, a group of disgruntled supporters told the leadership that they were not happy that some leaders, especially Julius Magara Mombe, had been given the position of deputy treasurer instead of being the substantive treasurer. Matutu told Studio 7 that he is in talks with the party leader Tendai Biti to resolve the issue.
No, that is not true. I haven't resigned from the PDP. But apparently what has happened by way of background is that I did not attend the convention which was held from the 9th to the 11th in Harare because apparently there were some differences that were emanating between myself and other members of the election directorate. And apparently I wanted them to explain the process they had undertaken to come up with leadership.
The social media is awash with a statement that is purportedly written by you in which you say the leadership is poor and they are idiots. Therefore, you feel Tsvangirai is much better than them. Is it you who wrote this?
Basically, I would challenge anyone to come up with that particular statement. Whether that statement do exist, I don't know. When it was brought to my attention, I went to the office of Tel Zimbabwe to find out what exactly transpired, but I could not find Mr. Maunganizi, who was said to be the author of that statement.
That was Deputy Secretary General of the newly launched People's Democratic Party, Tongai Matutu, speaking to Studio 7 from Maswingo. In this second and last edition, we are speaking with white Zimbabweans who have been on the receiving end of the nation's controversial land reforms. Are they bitter about what has happened to them in the past 15 years, and do they live in seclusion? VOA Gibbs Dube reports.
Former white commercial farmer Alex Kusen is affectionately known locally as Chuma, a common surname in the Matabeleland region. Others call him Makozindenda, literally meaning someone with welling saliva. Kusen lost his farm to invaders despite his deep roots in the Mkuza community. He says he has moved on and is currently operating some businesses in Zimbabwe's second largest city, Bulawayo. He says the love for the local Ndebele language has healed some of his wounds.
If you can speak the language, learn it, then you understand the people. And, you know, the Zimbabwean people are probably the most friendly people in the world, other than probably Australians. You know, when you see somebody, everyone greets you. If you go to Europe and you greet people, they think you want something or you're mad.
He dismisses assertions that some whites in Zimbabwe, mostly those who were affected by land reforms, are isolating themselves.
There might be still one or two misguided elements, but you're going to find them everywhere in the world. You know, you're with still neo-Nazis in Germany. We integrate with everyone. You can't isolate yourself in a country like this, but you wouldn't want to isolate yourself because most of the guys, we all feel the temperature the same in business.
His colleague, Ben Frith of the Southern African Development Community Tribunal, however, is still a bitter man following violent farm invasions in his area, which left one of his close relatives dead. Frith says he is still seeking redress for alleged injustices committed on white commercial farmers.
What I was asking the United States to do, that the United Nations Committee for the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination should have a complaint put to it regarding the breaking of that United Nations convention, which our president signed in 1991.
He believes that there was no need for the government to use force when it introduced the East Land reforms, which have been widely criticized by countries like the United States, Britain, Canada, and Australia, resulting in them imposing restrictive sanctions on President Robert Mugabe and members of his inner circle. For Ian Kay, a commercial farmer who has also suffered at the hands of the land invaders, life goes on despite racial outbursts at times from some of the ruling party's elite.
My life is in Zimbabwe. I did not choose to be born here. All this racial discrimination is unnecessary. We want to live in peace.
Some white Zimbabweans like David Coltart, an attorney and former education minister, ZANU-PF is still behaving as if it is waging an armed liberation struggle in a country that attained independence in 1980.
Robert Mugabe and many of the senior leadership of ZANU-PF sadly are trapped in the politics of the 1960s, the politics of racial discrimination. Fortunately, the vast majority of Zimbabweans have moved on. And that was certainly reflected in my elections in 2000, 2005, 2008.
Kusen believes that all this is unnecessary as most Zimbabweans, including whites, are struggling to make ends meet due to the harsh economic environment in the country. He adds that some whites who left some time ago are now coming back to Zimbabwe.
There's still a lot of whites coming back. I think once you've been born in Africa, Africa's good, I'm afraid. You don't want to live there. And the minute we turn and the economy opens again, you know, as long as people don't try and control the economy the whole time, let the people control their own destinations.
On the other hand, Frith argues that President Robert Mugabe has failed to unite the nation as per his pledge to cater for the needs of all Zimbabweans when he became the country's first black leader. As a result, he says, some scared white farmers have stopped most commercial activities due to fears that their land will be taken over by the government.
Every day they live in fear. Farmers just do not have any security. They don't know who is going to decide that they are going to take over the property.
But ZANU-PF Central Committee member and Member of Parliament for Pelandaba Mpopoma, Joseph Chuma, dismisses these fears, arguing that farmers will lose their land if they don't utilize it productively.
The person does not want to work their land because they are living in fear. Who will take back that land and give it to somebody else? It's as simple as that.
There's nobody who will take it to anybody.
For Kusen, the solution is for young white children to learn the local language so they can team up with their black counterparts to create a democratic nation.
The next generation will change it, you know, but we need to get past the generation at the moment. They don't just butcher whites, they do it to everyone, right? And if you look at the rest of Africa, we probably go to South Africa. South Africa is even worse. South Africa is the murder capital of Africa. So I think in Zimbabwe, we're not as violent. We complain about the hard times and the butchering, but the violence isn't the same as it is in South Africa.
Some within the community argue that much needs to be done to transform Zimbabwe into a rainbow nation, as was promised by the government in 1980, when the country attained independence from British rule. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, D.C., this is Kip Stube.
And in sports news, this weekend is the Chibuku Super Cup football feast for celebration as top marathon runners also battle for huge financial pickings. Reporter Michael Kariati tells us what is on offer.
The National Sports Stadium is the place to be this weekend as two matches take place each day, starting tomorrow as Chapungu take on log leaders Chicken Inn in the first of the Chibuku Super Cup quarterfinals. This will be followed by Triangle against Harare City at 3 p.m. as soccer fans watch two games for the price of one. Harare City coach Taurei Mangwiro has apologized to his team's fans following Wednesday's surprise 2-0 defeat at the hands of ZPC Kariba and is hoping for a better show against the Sugar Sugar Boys.
Apologies to the Harare City family for the dismal show. Let's look forward to better outing on Saturday against the Triangle.
On Sunday, ZPC Kariba take on Haumine, followed by the big one between FC Platinum and Dynamos at 3 p.m. The two teams met in a league game last weekend and Dynamos were beaten 3-1. However, Dimbare coach Tondera Indiraya is not talking about revenge, but is expecting an exciting game.
I hope the fans will have an exciting afternoon.
The Premier Soccer League teams are racing against time to end the tournament by October 31 as planned. PSO's Rodo Trabe could not confirm whether the semi-finals would also take a double-header format, but tells us when the final would be staged.
The semi-finals should be played somewhere around the time of the 3rd to the 4th of October. And the big one, when we have the final draw, should be played on the 31st of October.
Football, however, is not the only sporting star attraction over the weekend. The cream of Zimbabwe's marathon runners will also be on display Sunday morning in the Westgate Half Marathon, which will be run over 21 kilometers. The race has attracted the who is who in marathon running in the country due to the $3,000 on offer for the first runner home in both categories, the male and the female. Jacob Mgomeri of Rimuka Athletics Club is the defending champion, but is expected to face stiff challenge from 2016 Olympic Games bound Wirimai Juao and Cuthbert Nyasango. Also expected on the course is 2013 winner Kelvin Pangiso, as well as Louis Masunda, Edmos Banda, and Jonathan Chinyoka. The women's section will be led by defending champion Rutendo Nyahora, who is coming all the way from South Africa. Constance Nyasango is also arriving from Congo after taking part in the Africa Games to fight for the top $3,000. The other strong challenge for Nyahora is likely to come from Faith Nyasango, Sharon Tawengwa, Tabita Tsatsa, and the seasoned Sam Keliso Moyo. The runners-up in both categories will receive $1,500 and $1,000 respectively. That aside, tomorrow, the curtain comes down on the Africa Games in what has not been a good show for Zimbabwe. The Southern African country could only manage a paltry 7 medals, 3 golds and 4 bronze medals. The top countries of the Games, Egypt and South Africa, had more than 110 medals each to their total medal haul. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will lead discussions about the late national hero Sikanyiso Ndlovu. To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you right back from our studios. And now to recap today's top stories. Zimbabwe Electoral Commission Chairperson Rita Makarau says all is set for tomorrow's parliamentary by-elections, but remember, only identification forms accepted is an ID and not driver's licenses. Diplomats, top government officials and business executives joined youths in Harare at the first ever exhibition on education and economic opportunities for young people in the country. That's all for tonight. My name is Chris Gande, handing you over to Ntunga Milinkomo for the Ndebele program.